The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services claims its fraud detection system did its job last year, saving $454 million in improper and fraudulent payments to medical providers. But the Inspector General at Health and Human Services, CMS's parent department, is not so sure. It says a more realistic estimate is about one-third of that, closer to $133 million. Richard Navarro is the audit manager in Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General. He joins me now to explain the discrepancy. Mr. Navarro, great to have you on.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. So first of all, a little background. The fraud detection system has been installed now for about 4 or 5 years, and it took a while to get going, but it seems like now it really is starting to produce results.
Yes. Well, this is the third year. We just completed in December of 2014, and we've conducted a review of the system for the last 3 years. Each year, it seems like the results have gotten better.
Because early on, I think Congress was concerned that it was producing any results at all, but it sounds like it took some time to get the whole system fine-tuned so that it would be able to produce these results.
Yes, and if you look at CMS's report, I believe that's an ongoing process. We're going to continue to fine-tune it, and hopefully each year we'll get better.
All right, so getting to the savings reported for the past year, I think the year ending in the 2014 fiscal year, CMS officials said $454 million in savings. And tell us how you broke down that figure and what you think it really is.
Well, that savings is what they call identified savings, which means that basically they have very good reason to believe that this amount of money was improperly paid. Paying it, you know, and finding that it was paid wrong is one thing. Getting it back is something else. What we think we should be reporting is what was actually capable of being brought back into Medicare, into the trust funds, make the trust funds whole. So we look at what they might say they found and say, okay, based on historical information and some other factors, how much can be expected to be recovered and returned to the trust fund? So CMS developed what they call adjustment factors. For example, if they identify $100 that was improperly paid and they have an adjustment factor, they apply that to $100 and say, here's how much we can expect to get back. We looked at the amount they thought they could get back, and that's what we're reporting because we think that's the more important number.
And so of the $454 roughly million that they say was paid out, how much do you think they can get back?
$130 million.
So about a third.
Yeah, about a third, $133 million in savings.
Yeah, and so what does it mean to say that $454 million could be saved? I mean, it might be a billion, right?
Yes, it could be. They're not going to find everything. These people are trying to be found. You know, it's improper payments because people oftentimes are committing fraud. It's that, I guess, you want to say you got to go there and find it first. You have to identify it, not to even have a chance of getting it back. And right now the system is showing that it can identify, you know, $454 million in 1 year. What happens next is to try to get it back into the system. So they have to, if you look at the RTC, the third year report to Congress from CMS, they talk about their governance process and how they improve their system and how they refine their models. And hopefully that refinement process will result in models finding things sooner. And if they find it sooner, they have a better chance of recovering it.
Well, let's talk about recovery because I guess there's probably mistakes made by legitimate providers. They do wrong coding and wrong billing, or they, you know, there's a lot of reasons for this. And when you add it all up, it maybe comes to $133 million. And so if you are dealing with legitimate outfits and they are shown, hey, this is wrong, you'll get the money back because they are honest, trying to be honest providers. But the people that are fly-by-nights or operating out of storefronts or out of post office boxes and so forth, that's money that goes out that there's nobody to find to get back. Is that a good way to characterize the problem?
That's part of the problem, yes. And we're talking $133 million is what we think we can actually not only find but get back.
And how do they generally get it back?
They have different actions they take. And, you know, with the overpayment recoveries, if it's really aberrant, they can send it to law enforcement for recoveries. Some of the money is actually based upon projected savings to identify an aberrant provider, and they shut them down quickly. We allow that they can go and take some savings for that going forward, how much would have been paid out. And an estimate of what that is, that gets into the system and into the calculation.
And one of the calculations that CMS makes and some of the political officials in concert with the way the administration likes to characterize things. They talk about return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a stated, again, from the officials running CMS, that there was a return on investment of $10 for every $1 spent on the fraud detection system. And based on your findings, that's probably an overstatement also.
Yes. Yes, it is. We think that, again, if you're talking about a return on investment, you have to be dealing with what was actually saved, but actually got back to what you think will get back to the trust fund, not how much you found.
Okay, and so if it's not 10 to 1, then what is it?
It's about 3 to 1, I believe, in our report.
Yeah, $2.84.
Yeah, $2.84. That's what we think the real return on investment was for 2014.
And if you look at, you know, from the IG standpoint on what constitutes a good investment, is 3 to 1 reasonably decent to expect? I mean, is that a good result?
Yeah, I think it's a good result. I mean, we say in our report that the system should keep going. We don't want to see it shut down. You know, it's a growing system. If you start a new system, you don't get 10 to 1 usually the first year or the second year. It takes a while to build up. Compared to, I don't know what systems really compare it to that are comparable, but we think if you get 3 to 1, you're doing pretty good.
All right, we're speaking with Richard Navarro. He's the audit manager for the Office of Inspector General and the Office of Audit Services at Health and Human Services. And so just give us a little background on how the system works. What do we know about the system? Is it a box you can look at and it's painted red and said this is the fraud detection system?
Well, that's not really something we cover in our report. CMS has this report to Congress that talks about the various systems that it uses, the how it looks across the different payment systems and fee-for-service, and can compare all the data, how it has a series of models that, you know, would identify aberrancies and other indicators of potential improper payments. And then it takes those and it highlights the provider and extends it to his contractors, his own program integrity contractors. And they're responsible for, you know, doing additional work to work these things up to see, okay, how big a problem is there, and can we do something about this? And at that point, they go from there and either make referrals or send it back to other contractors for recoveries and that type of thing.
So it's a big data analytics type of system.
Yeah, it's a predictive analytic technologies, as they call it. And they have their rules and their models, which, you know, proprietary. We don't get into those.
Sure. All right. So you've made a number of recommendations for the FPS, for CMS, for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, to do for the fraud detection system. What are your chief recommendations?
This year, we really recommend that they just give contractors better written instructions on how to, you know, when to say it's an FPS savings. There are many sources for these investigations. FPS is just one of those many sources. The ZPIC contractors, they do their own analysis. You have people calling on the hotlines and other things. We want to be able to say, okay, how much of this is really attributable to FPS, so we can give a real idea of the return on investment. So to do that, we need the contractors to do the work to really document strongly what the FPS did for a particular case. For example, you might have the FPS might identify a provider who hit a couple of models, and they think there could be a problem here, so they send it to the contractor. And the contractor would then, you know, take that, look at it, and make a decision. Are we going to investigate this now, or is there enough here? And they may be working that. It may not be going anyplace, but then additional information may come in. And it's, oh, you know, now we have this other source, as Betty called in, and we have a complaint here. And they combine it, and based on that, they can go forward or not. And currently, the way we do it, because you can't allocate, that becomes FPS 100%. We want to have that contribution documented so you can clearly see what the FPS did for that investigation.
So in other words, the FPS might verify something that someone already knew from a whistleblower or some other method. On the other hand, the FPS could find something that no one knew about, and in that case, it would be 100% FPS.
Yes. And that's a very difficult thing to do, to try to break it down between different sources. You can't always do that.
But without that information, then I guess it's kind of hard to tell the true hard value of the fraud detection system.
It makes it difficult. It's a challenge for, you know, for CMS and for us, without a doubt.
And is the fraud detection system, is that only used by CMS personnel, or is that also in the hands of contractors?
It's used by the CMS personnel. You know, the contractors have a lot of feedback. CMS does a lot with the contractors to keep them abreast of things. So I would say it's strictly used by, I think it's by CMS, and then they share with the contractors who have a lot of input into the system. That would be better stated in the CMS report to Congress than our report. We didn't really cover that too much.
Just trying to understand how the whole system works, but the point is that CMS relies heavily on contractors to do a lot of its auditing and making sure that the payments are proper.
Correct. And CMS, I guess the fraud prevention system, is designed to go out there and find potential cases of fraud or improper payments that it can then send to the contractors to work up. This is just like the hotline tips or the whistleblowers. They don't all pan out, but, you know, you got to find them first. And that's what they do. That's what the fraud prevention system is. It's another source of potential improper payments for the contractors to work up.
All right. So you found that disagreement over what can really be stated as hard savings and presented this to CMS officials. What's their reaction so far?
Well, they believe that the identified number is important, more important than our number. They think that number more better represents the goal of the FPS to identify. They to identify these payments. We disagree and think that the adjusted savings number is more important.
All right, and so I guess it's maybe for Congress or the Health and Human Services Secretary to kind of sort this all out at this point, huh?
Yes, I would say it is.
All right, so this is something that you do every year? Take a look at this same...
The Small Business Jobs Act required that we do it for the first 3 years. So as far as participating in the report to Congress, this is it for us. We have officially completed our requirements under the Act. We can still do additional work. We have other things we might be doing. But at this point, as far as having to formally go out there and do this review, we're done.
But as an audit manager, wouldn't you like to see how it comes out next year?
Yep.
Yes, right. I would. All right. So maybe you will, and we'll check with you
time. We'll probably do other things that would be related to the FPS, but not strictly to certify with the numbers they report.
Okay, good enough. Richard Navarro is the Audit Manager in Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.